Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today, it's part one of a conversation I had with marketing guru Ted Rubin. Ted joined me last week live on LinkedIn and shared so many great ideas for franchises and small businesses about customer experiences and loyalty and how consumers feel about your brand right now. We'll get into that in just a minute, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, OneUpWeb, and Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers reaching a live person every time they call and never getting voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat, friendly customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone. A virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, and appointments scheduled. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234. Or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Hey, everybody. Jack Munson here from Social Joey and Social Geek Radio. And I'm thrilled to be chatting with Ted Rubin, marketing guru, genius, and all of those other wonderful things that I like to say about him. Ted, what's up, brother?
How you doing? It's, you know, really, look, it's always great to be here with you, Jack. And I got to tell you, you are much better looking on camera.
Yeah, in person, it's not so good, but you get these filters going on Zoom.
I was not saying in person. I was referring to the photos you have on your profiles, man. I think you need a little photo session because you're looking good today, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, it's been COVID. We've had nothing to do but work out for the past 6 months, right? So, and I wanted to ask you that, like, every time I talk to you, you're on the water somewhere. Where are you today?
Well, I do like to do conference calls in my kayak. I just thought possibly for this, it might be better if I'm in my home, a little better connectivity and, you know, a little more steady. And also I've had people complain that they hear too much of the water. They've asked me to stop paddling when I'm on conference calls.
Sometimes. Well, and I'm on the line with you and you're kayaking around. You're like not in a little stream that I'm used to here in Illinois or Wisconsin. You're like out in some port with like a bunch of battleships around and stuff. And I'm always like, what on earth is Ted doing in this kayak in the middle of like the harbor or something? It looks a little dangerous, man.
Well, clearly you looked yesterday when I posted when I was next to all the big hatteries.
That's crazy.
That's actually a place where they work on them. And it's like a really nice sheltered canal. And you get to, you know, ride around these amazing boats that are just sitting there, you know, with nobody on them, nobody giving you a hard time if you get really close. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. It makes for good, it inspires me.
Yeah, it's a good place to go and chat with some people and think and, you know, get away from the kitchen table desk that I think too many of our colleagues are using right now and get out and kind of open your mind to a few things.
You know, for me, it's also a multitasking thing. It's a lot of the working out I do is what I call what you can. Actually, somebody coined this term, what you can, when you can. These two fitness bloggers who, you know, a lot of their constituency was complaining to them that, well, they get to work out all the time. So, of course, they're in great shape. So they wrote a book about how you can work out in and around everything you do. Whether it's parking far away from the store and walking all the way up to it instead of circling for 20 minutes looking for a close spot. Or what I try to do is whether it's I'm out walking or kayaking or doing something else, when I'm doing something that doesn't need my 100% attention or to be online or something like that. Clearly, I want to give people the attention they deserve, and that's why I'm here for you today.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And, you know, the last time you and I chatted, I think, on one of these webinars, it was probably in April or May. And I was just thinking this morning, wow, back then we thought all of this was going to be over and better, and everything was going to be past us by then. Here we are in mid-September, and we'll start with some sobering stats. Yesterday, the National Restaurant Association released its survey saying that over 100,000 restaurants in the U.S. have closed permanently or indefinitely. So that's sort of the table set that I think we're looking at here. Things are not looking great so far. What do you make of those numbers for the rest of this year and maybe into 2021?
You know, I personally think it's very, it's a part of what's changing in general. I think a lot of this would have happened to a certain degree, regardless of the pandemic. In my eyes, and some of the people I chat with a lot, I feel that the pandemic has accelerated a lot of change that was inevitable. Although I also believe it's brought in a different mindset and had us experience certain things that a lot of us haven't experienced for a long time. Now, I'm an older guy. I'm turning 63 in December. But I think even, you know, a lot of guys in their late 40s and 50s will remember that when we grew up, we didn't go out to dinner every day.
Yeah.
We didn't
order
in every day. It was that rare circumstance. And I'm not just talking about from an economic level. Like, even my wealthier friends that I met in different places from, you know, from where I went to school or whatever, you know, they cooked at home. There was a lot more family time. A lot of that was maybe based around devices or availability or a lot of different things. But I think a lot of people are recognizing the pleasure of doing that, the money saving of doing that, the family time. Even if everybody's on a device, you're still all together. You're in your home. You're experiencing more face-to-face time. And I think that's, to me, is the real eye-opener that I think happened here versus accelerating. I don't think that we would have accelerated into that. I think that happened, and all of a sudden people said, wow, like, it's not so bad being at home. You know, there's a great Seinfeld episode I was watching the other day. And, of course, we've all been watching a lot of Netflix. So, you know, and actually this is on Hulu, to give them credit for what they post. But there was an episode where he says, everybody has to be out. And what do? We go home just to get ready to go out again.
Go out,
and
yeah.
Moment sleep so we can go out. And he does this whole routine about it. And he's actually making fun of the fact that we're not happy unless we're out. And now all of a sudden, I just think we've had an eye-opener to the way things have been different. So back to what you first brought up. I think a lot of the restaurant closings was accelerating, you know, the inevitable. There were probably way too many restaurants. And I don't mean to be hard on the people that had these things. Certainly, I feel for them. And I hope that they find a new way to make a living. But I think what it's done is it's accelerated the concept that we have to start thinking how things are changing. How people are acquiring goods, how people are shopping differently, how customer experiences come into it more, and that customer experience is not just in your establishment, but from wherever we are. My business partner, John Andrews, likes to say that the new store shelf is your doorstep. And I think that goes for experiences and restaurants too. I mean, we certainly all know that we're going to be experiencing things from our homes, even if COVID didn't come with virtual reality and all the things that are coming. So for me, I think two reasons that a lot of this is not going to come back. I think economically, we're going to be in a slump for a very long period of time. Don't fool yourself. Our economy is in the dumps. The economy is not the stock market. And one thing has nothing to do with the other. We're not going to get into here why the stock market's where it is and has this extra exuberance. But the fact of the matter is they're different. And we all know the economy is hurting. So right there, people are not just going to, even if the pandemic passes, people aren't just going to start going out again. There's going to be a lot of people that can't afford to go out again, that are going to be looking for jobs, that are going to be reconfiguring their lives. Then I think that what was coming inevitably anyway was these virtual experiences and other things. So in some ways, while we have this government support, or at least we hope a second level of it will be coming in, I think this is a wake-up call to start figuring out where you're going to be in a few years. Now, granted, if you're at the end of your career and you're just trying to hold on and not let things change until you're done, I get that. And possibly you can still do that. But if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, you need to be looking at how things are going to change. And if you're talking about restaurants, you know, there's a lot of great ideas coming out there, you know, evolving the pickup facilities. How do we drive through and get things? How do we experience something? But I think back to another point you made, I think it's going to be a long time. I don't think we're flipping a switch. And I don't care what political party you're from, just use a little common sense and know that even if we have a vaccine in the next month or two, which is highly unlikely, it's going to be a long time, not only before we get it out to the population, but vaccines, again, I'm not a scientist, but it takes time mm-hmm. for that immunity to start setting in and passing. So I think, to kind of wrap up this long-winded answer to your question, is that this is a wake-up call to start thinking, what are we going to do next? How are things going to evolve? And I think we need to start having a lot of conversations about it, especially in franchise organizations, in restaurant associations, in retail associations. This is the place for it, where you get a lot of people together having the ability to talk and share about these things. And again, now we have these great platforms like Zoom, like we were talking about before we started, where you can do these things face-to-face if that's a more comfortable way for you.
One of the things that keeps popping up on the Social Geek podcast every week is we're talking to marketers and franchise companies, is they seem to feel like they're lucky that they started thinking about changing their business a couple of years ago. Right? They developed a new app, or they developed a way to order online, or they started a ghost kitchen 6 months before the pandemic. And I try to tell those people, luck is great, but the fact that someone was thinking about evolving their business before they had to make the quote unquote pivot, I think that's really been the difference in the past several months of the companies that are taking an idea that they already had in motion and expanding it. So to me, what I hear you saying is, what can we think about today for whatever crisis is going to hit us 6 months from now? Because we're always going to be in crisis from now on. Do you agree with that?
I do. And think, you know, and if not in crisis, just in very quick change and very quick evolution. It's happening so much faster than it happened before. And just for me, I just see that if you're not looking that way, you're going to be holding yourself back. And yeah. I mean, just imagine, Zoom was there and a certain very small group of people knew about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was used a little bit. Companies were stopping people from working remote. They didn't feel it was effective, but because they didn't try it. Now they've been forced to try it. And all of a sudden, I mean, I think office space climate and is going to be changing dramatically. Yep. I think huge amounts of companies are not going to be going back to their offices, are going to be downsizing what they were using before. They've recognized that not only can people work from home, but truth be told, they're more effective working from home. It's right. it's way beyond what even before they were just thinking, I'm not sure if Jack can be as effective working from home. He'll have too many distractions. The truth of the matter is we're more distracted at work than yeah. we are at home, because yeah. at work, you need to separate from it. It all takes time. Even someone that lives 10 minutes from their office, let's think about the process. You have to get ready for work. You have to go out in your car. You've got to get there. You've got to find a parking spot. You come in. You have to say hello to everybody one at a time.
For coffee on your way, right?
Yeah. There's no morning team call that gets it all accomplished together. And then how many of you guys have to get settled?
Getting settled, that you mean checking Facebook and Instagram. That's
whatever.
What getting settled.
But the point is, if people are at home, when their kids need something, they don't have to get up and leave work and go do it. It's there and happening. We're all also, I find that a lot of people are interacting and engaging with their spouses better. You know, sharing activities, doing things where they had to do it before and the handoff was so difficult. Now, for a lot of people, it's easier. Now, obviously, not everybody can do that. If you work in a restaurant, it's kind of hard to do it from home. But truth be told, a lot of the figuring out the menus, doing other things, we now know can be done remotely. A lot of the team building can be done remotely. I'll tell you that, you know, again, back to John, and I talk about him a lot because he's my business soulmate and my business partner. He's done a great job building the team at Photify remotely. And I got to tell you, we are closer now, and I think know more about each other than when we tried to ignore each other at the office.
Yeah.
If you know
right.
what I mean.
Right. Yeah. I found that with a lot of individuals in franchising who I've known for 15 years, I'm actually seeing them more now on Zoom right. or, you know, doing a weekly happy hour call or something like that. We're actually talking more now than we typically do when we would see each other once a year at a convention or
people
something.
People are actually using the phone. Yeah. But here's the funny thing. I think too many people are getting like too attached to Zoom because everybody wants to Zoom me. And I'm like, dude, I'm not Zoom. Just call
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to see your face for every call. And I don't mean that because I don't want to. Because also we've also gotten used to each other with, you know, I would say with our hair messed up, but that's not an issue for you and me. But we're getting used to seeing each other in our workout gear and our home gear. But also, it just takes time and it's not always necessary.
Right.
So I think that, you know, using new tools is also bringing us back to old tools. Remember the day when you call someone on the phone and you not only would you not get them, but their voicemail would say it's full because that's their way of saying don't think and call me because right. I don't want to talk to you.
Right. My old joke was the only reason you're going to leave me a voicemail is if you hate me or you're my dad. That's the only people who leave me voicemails.
Right. Right. So in some ways, it has brought us back to this personal connection, because although we were together a lot, we didn't really talk to each other. Granted, no. you know, there's different places. You can't, a franchise event isn't the same via a Zoom or a webinar as it is when you're face to face because of the real relationship building that goes on within an event. But I'm talking about the day-to-day stuff. I am closer and feel more connected to people in that way than I did before.
Excellent. Ted, I want to jump into talking about some brands and how customers are experiencing brands right now. You talk a lot about trust for a brand. Is that right now the most important thing for a brand to be trustworthy or to have the trust of that consumer?
I think trust is always the most important thing for a brand. I've always said, you know, bring this back to social media a little bit. People would say, well, what's the ROI of social? You know, especially early on when people weren't really able to track a lot. And I look right back at them and say, what's the ROI of trust? And what's the ROI of loyalty? And for me, you know, trust is the key factor in building loyalty. But, you know, trust simplified, you know, trust is different from most things we earn. It's highly valued, but it can't be bought. You can't go out and spend money to buy trust. It's sometimes shared because we can definitely take our trust and bring it to a partner, but that window closes quickly if it's overused, as I find it often is. You know, we bring on partners very quickly, very often without vetting them and really understanding what they bring to the table for us and what we bring there for them. It must be earned, but you can't sell it. You know, and its lifespan will be as long as you're willing to nurture, respect, and care for it. Too many people think I've earned your trust and now I don't have to do anything anymore. But if you're not continually nurturing it, that trust will disappear. You know, in my humble opinion, trust has a way of earning its own value and maintaining its own lifespan. Those who seek it and want to keep it have to live with that reality. You know, I've said this for many, many years, real trumps perfect, because real, in my eyes, creates trust. And I think that's crucially important.
Do you see a lot of brands that are missing out on that because they're not doing things real on social media? They're trying to make everything perfect. Everything's got to be a $100,000 video shoot and everybody has to look perfect. When, to me, I think most consumers would be really thrilled with somebody taking some pictures on their phone behind the counter and sharing that from a local business. Do you kind of see where I'm going there?
I totally see where you're going. And as you know, it's someplace I go very often. You know, for me, there's nothing like being yourself. Okay. And especially because it's very hard to be others. That's acting. And I'm not saying there's necessarily something wrong with it under the right circumstances, but it's very hard to keep up. So well, people say to me all the time that I'm very much myself, that people, they can trust what I'm saying because I say what I think. And they know they're going to get the straight talk from me. And, you know, matter of fact, that's what my blog is called. Everyone knows it as tedrubin.com, but my blog actually has a name. It's Straight Talk. And every brand I've ever worked with knows that I'm going to give it to them from the heart. And it, you know, look, I understand wanting to understand your consumer. And I talk a lot about talking to people the way they like to communicate. So what I mean by that is, Jack, if I'm trying to sell you something, then I have to speak and communicate in the way that's best for you. Whereas if you're trying to, if, let's say you're saying, Ted, I want you to be on my podcast. I really need you to do it. You don't then say, and this is the only day I can do it, 2 o'clock at this time, and you better have headphones and you better have a direct connection. No, you're going to say, hey, what works best for you? And what do you have that I can work around? Or at least you're going to do that if you're successful. And I find that whether it's the restaurant business or franchises or brands, too often they try to bring people to the table in the way that's best for them. And here's the way I liken it the best. I'm a dad of 2 daughters. I'm divorced. So as if any of there are divorced people in the audience, especially dads who maybe don't have their kids as much time as the custodial parent, you know that time is really valuable. And what you learn very quickly as a divorced dad is that you need to communicate the way your kids want to communicate. So the perfect example is, how many of you guys have texted your kids called your kids, you dial the number, you call, it rings, and you get back a text in 2 seconds that says what? With an exclamation point. That is their way of saying, I will not pick up that phone, but I am available. So if you want to communicate with me, you better text me. I mean, there was a point years ago where when my daughters are 23 and 25 now, but there was a time when my younger daughter was, I think, 14, or I used to Snapchat her. I used to snap her. And this was before Snapchat even had sound. It was when my daughter would be sitting in the just making pictures. So
you were innovative, cool dad. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't really cool. I was maybe bothering her someplace she didn't want to be bothered, but I knew it was someplace that she was paying attention. I knew it was someplace that I could communicate where she would see what I'm doing, where I'd be like, you know, we need to talk. And I bring this into the business world in that too many businesses try to communicate where they want to communicate. They decide Facebook is the platform. They decide Instagram is the platform. They decide that they just want to share perfect, like you mentioned earlier, perfect photos and images, that nothing that's off, that the burger is on the plate and the fat is dripping off and there's a little cheese. And what they don't realize is we all know that we never see it like that.
Right.
And what really happens is user-generated content comes into that, or employee-generated content, where we're posting things that are real, like you said, showing who you really are. I tell companies all the time, take videos in your office, share things about the way you work, do some prep time in the back, show what your employees look like after a day of waitering and waitressing in a restaurant, and they're exhausted in the back. They're not perfect. Everybody wants to see. And not only that, but that'll give your customer more of an appreciation of what you put into your customer experience, you know, which is so important these days, because to me, customer experience is more important than just about anything. People, especially now, post-COVID or during COVID, they want an experience that's quick and easy. I like to say simplicity is the new everyday low pricing. Make it easy for them and they will buy from you again and again and again. And then start thinking about, what does it mean to them? Give them a view into what you do to provide that excellent service. I mean, you know who's doing a good job of that right now? Amazon.
Okay.
If you've noticed, and this is relatively new for them, they've started advertising with their employees, talking about what it's like to work in their warehouses, what it's like to drive one of their trucks, how important their customers are to them. And they've already gotten the simplicity part nailed. Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I very often will buy something that I could buy somewhere else, even for a little more money at Amazon, because I don't have to fill out the whole form. I've got it. And now what they're doing is they're actually delivering that to other brands now. I just bought something online a few times where it brought up Amazon Pay. You know, and a lot of people are using Apple Pay, another brand that is doing a great job. I don't think they do much of a good job giving us the background, but then again, they're not really delivering to us the same way most retailers. I mean, yes, they have a store, but I don't think that's the strongest part of their brand. I think it's more of a customer service kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah. I love that marketing that Amazon's doing. It says nothing anymore about shipping, price, comparing anything like what they used to talk about. Right. Now they're showing their teams, and they're showing their teams with their kids. And they're showing their teams with their kids in the context of, here's how we're keeping people safe, and we're wearing masks, and we clean the warehouse, and so they're showing, and it's all about trust, because here's who I trust: people who take care of their kids and right. people who are taking care of me. That's who I trust, right?
And you know, back to one of the comments you made before, and on this topic, think about Walmart. Now, here's a company that has accelerated a lot of the things that they had that they were just testing. Some of these, I believe, and I'm not an expert on Walmart, but a lot of the things were things they kind of set aside because they felt they were ahead of their time or they weren't ready. Mm-hmm. Now, when COVID happened and people had to pick up was so important and delivery was so important and ease of use became, especially digitally, became so much more important to them, they were able to roll things out. Now, I want to jump in here because I bet a lot of the audience is saying, hey, we're not Amazon and Walmart. You know, we don't have the resources they have, not even close. How do we do things like that? Well, I feel in some ways small businesses have an advantage. There's not many layers of management. You're the boss. You're the guy. Granted, it depends on your level. You might have 2,000 employees and obviously not even be in the realm of Amazon or Walmart, or you might have 3 employees. But the bottom line is, in businesses under $50 million, which I would guess is a big part of your audience, the boss is the boss. He can split that in decisions. He also can relate and talk to on a regular basis his employees, because by the way, they are the eyes and the window to your business. And so many of them are neglected, especially in big companies, where I am sure Amazon and Walmart, and I've never worked at either, but I know people that have worked there, I'm sure they have resources and methods for people to share things. But it goes from here into the app, into here, then someone's got to review it, then a lower manager likes it, it goes to a director, and maybe a year from now, it gets in front of the person who really can affect change. Whereas in franchises and small businesses, we can make those changes immediately. We can
Everybody talks about a pivot. You can't, Walmart can't pivot tomorrow, right? They have a board of directors and a whole bunch of people who need to be in a conversation. But if you have a small restaurant with 3 employees and you decide tomorrow we need to start making this instead of that, you can probably do that.
And you can test and try anything. Okay, tomorrow, this is a joke, of course, everybody put on big fake smiles. See what happens.
Yeah.
Let's see if people notice. I mean,
hey, work for Chick-fil-A.
I've got to tell you, John and I do a lot of things online where we'll just try something one day.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden people will start texting us like, is that something new? What's going on? Why are you and Ted doing that? And we do it to see, is this something that people relate to? Do they like it? Do they pick it up? Look, my socks, which I post online on the Ted Socky, which clearly I have not been wearing socks much lately, Florida. In the summer, and people actually keep asking me about it. But when that started, it was just something that someone took some pictures and posted them. But I left an event thinking, okay, this is over. And every day for the next month, people are like, what socks are you wearing today? And that was 11 years ago.
Oh my God.
I still post my socks whenever I'm at an event, whenever I travel. Who knows? Maybe I'll start doing it again now as a joke with my flip-flops or something. Okay,
right.
I know that's scary, but it might be fun. Scott Monty, who's known for his bow ties, Scott was the head of social media for Ford. He's kind of one of the first guys that pioneered putting a face to a brand. He became the face of Ford.
Yeah.
And I give him huge credit for it. And I give Ford huge credit for allowing him to do it. But Scott became known for his bow ties. And just recently, he was going through his closet and he's got a few hundred bow ties. So he's doing a bow tie a day. And I forgot what his hashtag is because it just hasn't sunk in yet. Because by the way, when you try things like that, it takes time. Don't expect results in a day or two. But I guarantee you, as he keeps doing that, people are going to start thinking about and remembering that hashtag and relating it to Scott. And this is something that small businesses and franchises can do in so many different ways, because when people think of you in a way other than just your core business, it makes them think about you more often.
We'll be back next Monday with part two of this conversation, where Ted gets deeper into customer service and empowering franchisees and their employees. And we'll take some questions from our live LinkedIn audience. But before we go today, a resource I'm recommending lately for all marketers, especially those working with franchise brands, is oneupweb.com/franchise. It's got lots of free franchise marketing resources like an SEO audit template, a guide for Google local listings for franchise businesses, and more. My favorite is OneUpWeb's new Franchise Marketing Playbook. It's a guide for franchisors to support their marketing efforts at all levels of a system with specific tips for working with franchisees. And it includes current data and post-COVID insights. OneUpWeb is an enterprise digital marketing agency and AOR for many great franchises with over 20 years of digital marketing experience. Learn more now at oneupweb.com/franchise. And thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.